Welcome to Motherhood in ADHD. I'm your friend, Patricia Sen. My mission is to be a lighthouse for mothers with ADHD, helping you find your path to success by learning to appreciate your ADHD as an asset. I'm seeking to change the paradigm that ADHD means your life is doomed to be a hot mess. So I'm sharing strategies and encouraging you in your pursuit of happiness to love who you are every day of your ADHD life. Hey there, successful mama. It's your friend, Patricia. I was just on a podcast called Friending with Noelle Rhodes, and it's all about connecting women and building friendship. And I had such a great time chatting with Noelle, and there were some things that we didn't get to that I realized were still really valuable for specifically moms with ADHD. So I wanted to go into a little more detail on some strategies on figuring out what it is you're not doing well as a friend so that you can improve, and some strategies to actually do better. So of course, the first question is, how do you figure out that you're not doing something well? Well, good question. Ask what you're not doing well. I think you already will know, or you'll have some gut feelings about things that you've gotten some messaging on from other people in your life of what you need to work on. But if you're not sure, ask your best friend, ask your family, ask your spouse, put out some feelers to be like, hey, I realize I want to be a better friend and I know my ADHD affects this. What are some of the things that I can work on? Now, prepare yourself because you're probably going to get some feedback that is a little uncomfortable, but we can't grow and we can't do better if we don't know what the problem is. And keep in mind, everybody has flaws. It's not only ADHD people that are making mistakes here. Everyone has pieces of friendship that they're really good at and pieces that they need to work on or could work on. So know that this is not a finger pointing like you with ADHD are a terrible friend. It's not that. What I want to do is recognize that our ADHD affects our lives in every way. Friendship is one of those things that gets affected by our ADHD, and we can do better if we address it and we move forward, and we can easily ignore that problem. But I want you to have a life filled with love and friendship and all those beautiful things. And that will improve when we're aware and we're working towards goal. So once you know what you want to focus on, where you are struggling, make sure that you also remind yourself of all the things that you do well. What are the ways that you're a really good friend? Because if you get too bogged down in what's not going well, then you just get sad and you lose focus of what you're trying to do, which is become a better friend. You're not a crappy friend. We're just trying to be better and make sure that we are compensating for the areas that we're struggling in. So, first step is finding out what are the things that you need to work on, or what are the things that are, you know, other people that are close to you think could be improved. And then you've got to figure out, well, what does a good friend do? You'll have to learn about what makes a good friend. One of the resources that I was using as I was researching this topic is a free webinar that Attitude Magazine held. It was called The Secret of Making Friends, and it was a webinar with Caroline McGuire, and I'll link that in the show notes so you can go take a look at it. She did a really good job of highlighting areas that ADHD people struggle, so I highly recommend that webinar, and it's free. Super awesome. So understanding what a good friend does and then comparing what you're doing with what a good friend does. It's important to remember that sometimes we do things that hurt other people. And even though we didn't mean it to be hurtful, like that wasn't our goal, it still hurt our friend. And that's a problem when we're trying to build a relationship. And the same thing goes for like spouses or family. If what we're doing is hurting someone else, we still have to own up of, even if we didn't do it on purpose, if that action or that word hurt someone, like we can still do better. Don't beat yourself up about what happened, but let's move forward and we can do better. So some of the common things that come up are we forget important dates, like birthdays or anniversaries. Maybe we forget someone's name even though we've met them 15 times. Some people are oversharers, sharing things that aren't really appropriate with the depth that you have in the relationship with that person. Like if you're getting your coffee and all of a sudden you start telling that person about your body fluid issues, like that's probably too much for the barista. Like understanding who are the people that you can get that down and dirty with and who are the people that are more like surface level friendships, or maybe you haven't built the friendship to that level yet. You could, but knowing that it's not there yet and what you need to do to get there. One of the things that I liked in Caroline's talk was she went through the levels of friendship and understanding the difference between like an acquaintance, a buddy, a good friend, and gave some examples of how you know which people fall into which category. So I think that's was really useful if that's something you're not familiar with and not really sure how to know where the relationship is like on the spectrum of friendships. And then once you learn kind of where your areas that need improvement, this is where we're going to go in and learn some strategies. And then you just have to practice those strategies. So when we look at the different strategies that we can get into, first, only pick one strategy. Don't try to fix all the things at one time. That's our tendency with ADHD, is to try to, you know, gangbusters, just knock it all out. We're going to be like the best friend there ever was in the next 2 weeks. Well, that's not how friendship works. So let's work on one thing at a time and then find a low stakes way to practice that strategy with somebody who is already a trusted person. Like, you know, if you already have a best friend or someone in your family or your spouse, you can even practice talking to your dog. Don't try it out on some new friend that you're nervous to talk to. Find a low stakes way to practice. So one of the things that I always do is write down information because I know my brain's not going to remember it. My brain does not have the capacity to remember like dates and all that kind of thing. I just can't. So any kind of important date like birthdays, anniversaries, I put them into my calendar right then and make sure that I have it repeating on, like if it's a birthday, repeats every year. And then also give myself the appropriate notification buffer. So for a birthday, I will set it. I used to do it like as an all-day event and I changed that. So I'll put the birthday at like 8 a.m. and put a notification for that morning, or like if you know you're going to be busy at 8 a.m., put it at 3 p.m. where I know I can actually have the time to send like a text or call the person, because this is somebody who's important to me, to actually make the time to wish them a happy birthday. But I also put another reminder in ahead of time if I need to mail a present, like if it's one of my niece and nephews and I need to mail them a present, like I'll put a reminder in for like 10 days ahead of time so that that will pop up and I'll be like, oh yeah, I need to order so-and-so's birthday gift. Or if you want to mail that person a card, maybe the week before, I put those notifications in when I create the actual calendar item so that it's not reminding me the day before. And I'm like, well, now I'm going to have to call them and be like, oh, your birthday present's in the mail. I mean, that's not showing that this person is valuable to me by sending them a birthday present a week later, right? So give yourself the appropriate notification buffer based on what it is that you need to do for that person. I also, when I do my like month ahead prep, which if you haven't heard me talk about that, on the 15th of every month, I look at the month that's coming up and figure out what are the things that I need to prepare for to kind of get my brain started on marinating on all those things. So in the middle of June, I'll look ahead at July and say, oh, okay, well, my husband's birthday is in July, so I need to start thinking about his present like way ahead of time, because that's a lot of effort in coming up with a good one. And knowing like I need to send my dad a birthday card, I need to send my brother-in-law a birthday card. If you can't tell, I love birthday cards. They make me really happy. Keep in mind that if you're not like a birthday card person, maybe like you can send a text, that's fine. But giving myself that amount of time to think about what I want to do is like creating that awareness. I'm building in the time buffer, because with ADHD, our time is now and not now. And when I look ahead to the next month, that's just not now. I don't have to worry about that. But for me to place those relationships of higher value and show that they are of value to me, I need to give myself time to think of a solution on how I'm going to make those people feel special on their special day. Another way that I write things down is in my to-do list. If I say I'm going to hang out with somebody next week, I put it on my to-do list. Find time to hang out with so-and-so so that I don't forget. I'm usually okay with names. I'm not the best, but I used to be so good with names, so I never had to do this. But now I think my brain's just gotten full of like way more names, maybe over the years. I don't know. But if there's people that I'm struggling to remember their names, I write them down. I keep a note in my phone of people to remember. So for example, like a lot of my neighbors, I can't remember their names. I randomly meet them one time and then I'm like always waving to them as we walk by, as we're like riding scooters. And I'm like, I cannot remember who that person is. And I keep waving at them. Like, I don't want to get past that buffer time of like, it's no longer appropriate to ask for their name. And now I'm like trying to like ask so-and-so to ask so-and-so, do you remember what that person's name is? No, it's just, it's too much. So what do? I write it in my phone. I have a list of all my neighbors written in my phone because then I can just go back and look and be like, oh, right, that is Mr. Lee. Because I have a lot of elderly neighbors on my street, so there's a lot of waving from afar. But anyway, so just write it down. If there's something that you struggle to remember, write it down. Put it in your to-do list. Put it on your calendar. Give yourself the notification buffer to get it done. Next strategy is say what you mean and mean what you say. If you tell someone, yeah, let's hang out, then I try really hard to just schedule it then, or I write down tomorrow to schedule it, because otherwise I'm not going to remember. Like it immediately just floats on away. I don't keep track of that thought. Also, if I really don't want to hang out with that person, I try not to say, yeah, let's hang out with that like weird smile on my face. Like I'll give a vague response of like, oh, let me think about that or whatever. Like I try not to say I'm going to do something if I'm not going to do it. That's like an integrity thing for me. But when I say I'm going to do it, I either do it right then or I write it down somewhere that I know it's going to happen. Next strategy, looking for social cues. This is something that I felt the webinar that I mentioned earlier did a really good job of talking about, so I won't get too in depth in it, but making that practice of watching people and reading their body language while you talk to them to pick up on if they appear like they're in a rush and they don't really want to talk. Like I used to just take that personally, like why don't they want to talk to me? And now I look at it as like, does that person look like they're in a hurry? Like or do they look distracted? Or are they trying to get somewhere? Because then I don't feel like it's not me that they're putting that on. Like they clearly are struggling and that's not a reflection on me. And that way my feelings don't get hurt. Another one that I really liked from Caroline's webinar is know your audience. You know, she talks about the different levels of friendship, like acquaintance, buddies, best friends, etc. She talked about how knowing the audience allows you to think ahead of time on what you should be saying based on who that person is. So the way that you would tell a story is going to vary on who you're speaking to. So let me give an example because I don't feel like I'm explaining this well. If someone asks you, hey, how was your weekend? You answer that story differently if it's your best friend asking versus like one of your coworkers. Your coworker, you might be like, oh, we had, you know, a rough go of it because we were potty training this weekend, but we made it through. Whereas with your best friend, you might go into the full detail of like, oh my goodness, why is there so much pee? Pee everywhere, pee, pee, and more pee. But like, that's not something maybe your coworker needs to hear or wants to hear. It depends on your relationship level with them as to how far you're going to get down the rabbit hole of details. And so understanding your audience, like what are you trying to accomplish in this conversation, that will allow you to make better choices in the way that you relate to them. And the other thing that she really touched on that kind of hurt my heart a little bit because I'm not good at this is telling a tight story. Learn how to tell a tight story. Wow. This is not my forte. This is probably the thing I need to work on. Sorry, you all who are listening to my rambling stories. I guess maybe you feel that way or don't feel that way. Interesting. Now I'm curious. But she talks about knowing who your audience is, practicing like getting just the details you need out so that people don't stop listening. If you're on like tangent number 4, people start tuning you out. They're not paying attention. They're getting irritated. So learning how to tell that tight story with just the details needed is something that you really can practice. And this is something you could practice on your dog if you wanted. But practice telling the story as succinctly as possible so that you can get in that habit. And I like how she explained that just having the conscious idea of I need to keep this succinct and simple, or I need to filter the what I'm telling to who, or I need to watch the way that I word something. Just knowing and having that awareness will make you more likely to do it as time goes on. You may not be the best the first time around because everything takes practice, but you'll get better and better at it. But just having that awareness will help you do better in making the choices that you want to make in being a better friend. Now, the last one is something that my husband and I have talked in like full detail about, is choosing who to invest in. Not everyone is meant to be your best friend or your a good buddy, and that's okay. Like, you don't have to be friends with everybody. Now, I don't think I've talked much about, like, my husband is such a social butterfly. He makes friends wherever he goes. He could talk to a wall. I mean, he is so good at making people feel comfortable and people just sharing their life story with him. I'm always like, oh my goodness, how did you make another best friend? Like, wherever he is, it's crazy. Well, that means that my husband has a lot of friends. He's really good at building friendships, which is great. But also, there's only so much time in a day, you know? So we are very conscious about who are the people that we're investing in, and in different ways. Like, there are couples that we have purposely set out that, like, we want to spend more time as a couple with this couple, like doing double dates and investing into the, like, that couple friendship. There's also people that I separately am investing in and spending time with as, like, girlfriends. And whether or not you have the issue of too many friends or not enough friends, choosing the right people to be friends with is highly important. You know, you might be listening to this like, oh my goodness, I just moved to this new place. I don't have any friends. I can't believe that you're telling me about all the friends you're filtering out. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is you have to make choices carefully in where you put in that time. Not only from the perspective of you only have so much energy to give, like, you're already investing in your family, in your children, in your spouse, in your parents and other family. Like, you're already investing in so many people. You want to make sure that you're truly spending time with the people that you're meant to be with. That means maybe phasing out someone who is toxic, who's not good for you. That's okay. If somebody is a vampire friend and they just suck the life out of you, it's okay to spend less and less time with them and phase them out. If that's not a life-giving relationship to you, that is okay. I'm giving you permission right now, friend. If that person is not good for you, you can stop hanging out with them. It is okay. But in choosing the right people to spend time with, you're really making your time investment worthwhile. You want to be choosing people who are good for your soul, who are kind and loving and will be there when you need someone, but also that you want to be there for them in those same situations, that you can be the one that they rely on. And that's really having an honest conversation with yourself, and if you have a spouse, to figure out who are those people that you want to really pour into and spend time with and grow those friendships. And if you're not sure where to start, you'll get there. I feel like I need a whole nother podcast to talk about, like, where to find friends if you don't have any. I all of a sudden, like, all these things are coming to my mind. I'm like, no, Patricia, stay on track. We're trying to keep it, not an hour-long podcast. But I do challenge you to think about who are the people that you should be investing in. Who are the people who are life-giving to you? You are life-giving to them. People that are going to build you up. You're building them up. You're making each other better. So, sweet mama, I hope you will check out my episode with Noelle Rhodes on the podcast Friending, and I will link to it in the show notes as well as the resources that I have mentioned throughout the podcast. You can find them on my website, motherhoodinadhd.com, under the resources tab. And I hope you're having an amazing week. I would love for you to share the podcast with a friend and subscribe, so that we can reach out to as many mamas as possible and offer that hope and encouragement that we can have an enjoyable motherhood with our ADHD. Okay, we will talk soon, and have a great week, successful mama. Thank you for listening to Motherhood in ADHD. For more resources, head over to our website, www.motherhoodinadhd.com.